Today on More to Life, finessing forgiveness. Finding it hard to forgive, confused about what forgiveness even means in your situation. Let us help you find clarity and healing. 877-573-7825. Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, finessing forgiveness. Are you finding it hard to forgive someone? Are you confused about what forgiveness really even means in your situation? Are you having a hard time getting someone to forgive you? Whatever the circumstances are, we want to help you find clarity and healing today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
You know, this can be such a multi-layered kind of, forgive the overused metaphor, onion to peel back in our lives, because often, very often, we know as Christians that we're supposed to forgive, but we're living in a world where people don't often ask for forgiveness. So we can have that weight of this person slighted me, hurt me in some way, did something where I know my response was anger, or whatever our response was that we know doesn't line up with who we want to be as Christians. But they've never even addressed it. They've never asked for forgiveness. If you bring it up to them, maybe they kind of shirk it off. And you're thinking, so am I still supposed to forgive them? How am I supposed to heal? How am I supposed to be in this relationship? Do I just set a boundary and move on and don't settle any of this inside myself or my spiritual life? How am I accountable to God in all of this? This can feel confusing. I know that, you know, I personally have had to deal with a lot of people who just, you know, they do their thing and they don't care if they are harming the relationship or harming me in some way. It just becomes a non-conversation, because it's a very difficult thing to be a Christian in a world that doesn't even validate that we can hurt each other anymore and that forgiveness is a thing. So how do we deal with this in our lives? We're here to help you figure it out for the situations in your life today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Well, I think this is a challenge for everybody, even me. You know, I'm actually pretty good at forgiving in general, but there was one person in particular who I'd actually done a favor for, and then this person kind of went behind my back and started talking about me and saying some untrue things, hurtful things, and never apologized, even when I confronted them about it. And, you know, it was. I still don't really understand why they did it, and it's especially hard to forgive someone when that happens. But you know, all you can do really is really ask God in those times to help you move past that and to be able to not hold on to that feeling, those feelings of anger or resentment, or to wish them ill, and. I got to a point where I was able to let that go, and it was a very good thing to be able to give myself that gift, even though they didn't ask for my forgiveness.
Well, and you know, you say that's all you can do. That's a heavy lifting kind of thing to do sometimes, but it's also not all. It's not all you can do, because when you ask God to intervene in that way, there is always something. Always, when we ask Him to be present, that He wants us to do. Maybe in that relationship, but it may be a lesson learned, a way we should approach relationships in the long run, you know, other relationships that we come across. It can be a different virtue that God's asking us to embody for the first time, maybe, or to exercise it more strongly. So just even that idea of that person's never going to come through with a real apology, so I'll just give it to God. It's not that, because if you give it to God, he always wants to do something within our hearts, minds, and souls. And if you're trying to figure out what to do about that situation, that person that you have this desire to reconcile with, this desire to forgive, and you don't know what to do about it, we're here for you today.
877-573-7825. Call up and share, is there someone you're having a hard time forgiving? Have you told them you forgive them, but you still feel hurt or angry? Maybe you're having a hard time trusting them or really reconciling with them. Or what if they aren't sorry or keep doing the same things over and over? Whether you're struggling to forgive or having a hard time getting someone to forgive you, let us help you find the road to healing. 877-573-7825.
Or maybe there's something that has happened recently and you don't feel comfortable being with that person, especially as the holidays are ramping up and you know that those hurts can be magnified at that time, and you're thinking, what in the world do I do about this? Well, you start by giving us a call today on More to Life, 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're not sure what that is, or how it could possibly help you forgive, you've come to the right place, because St. John Paul gave us a series of reflections on how we can discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design creation.
Pope John Paul II saw mercy and the theology of the body as going hand in hand. He promoted the popular devotion to divine mercy right alongside of the principles outlined in the theology of the body. The theology of the body reveals that God does have incredible expectations for us and our relationships, but he knows that we cannot fulfill our destiny on our own power. All of us, will inevitably stumble and fall along the way. The only way we can hope to achieve the heights we're destined for is by leaning into God's abundant mercy and forgiveness, and by sharing that same mercy and forgiveness with each other.
You know, at the same time, forgiveness doesn't require us to pretend that an offense didn't occur, or that things are actually better than they are. In fact, the Catechism reminds us that it's not in our power to forget or not feel an offense. But it goes on to say that the heart that offers itself to the Holy Spirit turns injury into compassion and purifies the memory in transforming the hurt into intercession. The theology of the body reminds us that we're created for communion with others. And that means we've got to be willing to work to face the offenses we commit against each other honestly and courageously, and then willingly work together to actually heal the damage that's been done to the body of Christ. You know, true communion can't be built if we're not honest with each other about the damage that our hurtful actions cause, or, for that matter, honest about the work that needs to be done to actually heal those wounds. The work involved in forgiveness and reconciliation is good work, but it's also hard and complicated work. It's okay to take the time that's necessary to do it right. 877-573-7825. We're talking about finessing forgiveness. Do you find it hard to forgive somebody? Are you confused about what forgiveness even means in your situation? What's the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation? And what's the challenge, what challenges do you face, rather, in getting someone to forgive you? 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. Then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we bring to you those people who have hurt us, either in big or small ways, And we ask you to help us to know what forgiveness requires of us in those situations so that we can cooperate with your grace to be instruments of healing, to create healthier and holier relationships and build your kingdom by building those relationships. Help us to face head on the seriousness of the offenses, but work together with that person who hurt us to be able to bring healing to us, to our relationships, and to your body. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, finessing forgiveness. 877-573-7825. Tell us if you're struggling to forgive someone in your life for big or small offenses, or if you're confused about what forgiveness even means or requires of you in a particular situation, or if you're having a hard time getting someone to forgive you. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Mary, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Oklahoma.
Mary, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you?
Yeah, it's about forgiveness, but it doesn't fit into any of the things that you kind of mentioned.
Well, go on.
Basically, when we were both kids, my brother sexually abused me, okay? And the question, it's not a matter of forgiving him. It's a matter of communicating that forgiveness to him. I forgave him a long time ago. I have no trouble forgiving him. But I'm afraid to tell that to him. And I'm afraid that he's tortured by guilt and needs to know that I forgive him. But I'm afraid to tell him because...
When you say you're afraid to tell him, yeah. Go ahead. You can answer my question anyway.
I'm afraid it'll upset him so much that he's very depressed, extremely depressed. His whole life he's been extremely depressed. I'm afraid he'll commit suicide if I confront him with it.
Mary, why do you think hearing that you've forgiven him will cause that reaction in him? I mean, it's possible that he's carrying the load of that guilt so terribly and you've never told him that you forgive him and that's what's causing and aiding the depression. So what about the fact that you'd say to him, I forgave you a long time ago, do you think would trigger that response in him?
Well, I'm afraid he doesn't realize how bad it was. I'm afraid he doesn't realize that he really did something really wrong. Mm-hmm. And I might shock him into, because I've had a really rough time.
Do you have a kind of a relationship with your brother? Do you talk to him ever at this point?
We talk. We see each other about once, maybe twice a year when I go out there, go back home, and we'll talk on the phone occasionally. But I'm very, very uptight on the phone, and he's so depressed, and I'm trying to comfort him and give him encouragement. He had surgery recently and he's had cancer and
is he receiving any kind of professional help for the depression that you feel like he's in?
He takes medication. He might be in therapy. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, Mary, he has supports then. He has a psychiatrist at the very least who can make a referral to a counselor if that becomes a problem. I think that This is actually what I was talking about. You said that some of the things we were saying weren't really connecting with you. But as we were sharing in our opening reflection, part of healing the damage, even in a serious offense like this, means challenging the person who hurt us to face what they've done so that they can do the healing work that's necessary on themselves to allow God's grace into their hearts and be better moving forward. And, if you didn't, it would be one thing if you were telling me that you didn't feel safe around him anymore, because there are certain people in your situation where it wouldn't be appropriate even as an adult to be communicating with the person who committed this abuse. But you say that you've worked through that and you do feel safe in his presence and you do have a relationship. And so, if somebody else is listening in Mary's situation, I wouldn't necessarily give you the same advice that I'm giving Mary, just because she's in a different place, okay? But I will say, you know, that because you do have a relationship with your brother and you do talk with him, I think being open with him about the pain that he caused and the fact that God has given you given you healing, right? And you, by working through that, could actually be an inspiration to him to recognize that there's healing for him as well. And instead of just carrying that guilt and that pain, you talking to him about this and letting him know that you've forgiven him could be a path to healing. If you were telling me that he didn't have any mental health support in his life, I might offer some different thoughts about that as well. But considering the fact that he does have a psychiatrist who could make a referral to counseling if he isn't getting it, and he may even be getting it at this point, you're not sure, I think that letting him know both how much it hurt you, what he did, but also that God made healing possible for you to the point where you actually do have compassion for him and want him to be healthy and well and healed, I think being honest with him about all that could really be a beautiful step in both of your healing. And I want to thank you for doing the work on yourself that it's taken to get yourself to this place, and for finding compassion for your brother who, you know, hurt you in a very heinous way, but who is hurting himself, and you see how hurting he is. And I just want to, you know, encourage you to be honest about that so that you can both do more of this healing work. Thank you so much for the call. And again, other listeners who might be in the situation that Mary is describing, this is such a very different situation for each person. So please don't take the advice I gave to Mary to heart for you. If you've been through a similar situation and you have other questions like this, please feel free to call in with those specifics. But Mary, based on where she's at in her journey, is in a very different place, and that's why I gave her the advice that I did.
And not only where she's at in her journey, but the distance physically between she and her brother and the limits that they have on their relationship and things like that already. So, again, something this traumatic is very unique to each and every person, and the circumstances are so detailed and so unique that it really, you know, don't just say, well, they said on the air, because that may be completely different for your situation.
But we're taking your calls about forgiveness today on More to Life, 877-573-7825. Are you finding it hard to forgive someone for a big or small offense? It doesn't matter. Sometimes the hardest ones are the hardest to let go of. Actually, the smallest ones are the hardest to let go of. Yeah. If you're confused about what forgiveness even means in your situation, or you've told the person you forgive them, but you still have that hurt or anger or resentment in your heart, or if you're having a hard time getting someone to forgive you, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls. Coming up in just a minute, we'll also be joined by Anastasia Northrup. She is the founder and director of the National Catholic Singles Conference, and she'll be sharing some insights with us about forgiveness. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Finessing Forgiveness, as we talk about the challenges of forgiveness, what it requires of us in particular situations, how to know if we've really done it, and what more might need to be done, even if we've extended that forgiveness. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Anastasia Northrup. She is the founder and director of the National Catholic Singles Conference. She's an expert on the practical applications of the theology of the body, and she's here today to talk to us about some lessons she's picked up about forgiveness in her work with singles. Hey, Anastasia. Welcome to More to Life.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
So let's talk about this. I mean, you know, forgiveness, of course, is part of all relationships, but how does that particularly play out in your work with singles?
Sure, yes. Well, when one has been single for a long time, and this could happen if you marry later, too, sometimes there can be multiple relationships that you've been in that you've had to forgive, and whether that's that you had to cut it off or that you feel rejection or abandonment, this can come into play. And so, or perhaps you're single, never married, and you have never even had a real dating relationship. And so then there can come into play forgiveness about, like, things about myself or other people that I have to forgive, even if it's kind of a general thing about society and the culture. And so we find that, you know, if people want to get into a relationship, because a lot of people that are single want to be married, right, then we need to look at ourselves and say, okay, are there past relationships that I haven't forgiven? Have I not forgiven myself? Because in order to have healing, we have to have that forgiveness piece. You know, if you go for healing prayer, you know, to receive prayer, they always ask, you know, is there anybody you haven't forgiven? And so even if we've thought we've forgiven once, which, I mean, something happens to me, right? I've forgiven that person, but, oh, I think there's still some resentment left there, you know, so I got to forgive again. And so I think that's a very important thing as single people, and obviously for everybody, you know, on the planet, to look at that and say, okay, you know, is there unforgiveness in my life, and how is this affecting my relationships and moving forward?
You mentioned the word resentment, and I think that's something to look at, because we often feel guilty that we have that resentment still, but we've done shows on this specific topic before, and one of the things we try to point out is, you know, like the theology of the body teaches us, every part of our body, including our emotions, was created by God to work for our good. And so even resentment can work for our good if we give it to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to show us what are the wounds or the offenses that still need to be healed on that road to forgiveness. And so, you know, it's not just a matter of pushing past it, but I think, like you're saying, bringing that feeling back to prayer and saying, okay, God, what's the next thing that I need to do as I'm working toward forgiveness and or reconciliation?
Oh, definitely. That's a great point about it being shining a light on what needs to be forgiven still. And I'd like to think about, you know, Jesus on the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So sometimes when I'm having a hard time, I try to think, okay, you know what, this person has long moved on, and whether they were sorry or not, hopefully they were, but, you know, they probably didn't know what they did either. And so just to try to have that compassion and understanding, that can be helpful for me sometimes.
Well, I think that it's so important to remember that, you know, you're absolutely right, Anastasia. They might not have had a clue what they did. They might not be thinking about it at all, but it's still hurting us. And so when we're not having that relationship anymore, it's really important, isn't it, for us to turn inward and say, Lord, first of all, heal me from the pain. But secondly, what do you want me to learn from this? Because I think a lot of the time we hold that resentment towards something that somebody has done to us that has left our lives completely in order to not have to look more deeply, in order to kind of falsely protect ourselves from getting hurt in that way again, instead of saying, Lord, what do I need to learn so this isn't as likely to happen to me again? What do you make of that?
Oh, I think that's a great point, because it can be easy, you know, as singles, to be, you know, bitter and say, oh, it's all, you know, the fault of the opposite sex or, you know, all the bad people I've dated and, you know, that kind of thing. And instead of doing the work on ourselves and saying, okay, you know, what part did I play in the relationship, and how can I grow and be a better person so that when I do meet my spouse that I can have a good marriage and a better relationship and don't bring the same wounds into that relationship.
Well, Anastasia, thank you so much for your time today. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I really encourage them to go to nationalcatholicsingles.com to learn both about the annual conference that you have, but also the events that you have throughout the year and the support that you offer to Catholic singles through the website at nationalcatholicsingles.com. Thanks again, Anastasia. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Forgiveness is not easy, but it's something that we're all called to. Reconciliation is a separate thing that's even more complicated than forgiveness. You know, it's possible to forgive somebody but not be reconciled to them. But let's talk about what that means. If you are struggling to forgive somebody, either because you're just having a hard time letting go of the hurt, or because they keep doing the thing, or they haven't even asked for forgiveness, maybe you're having a hard time trusting that person again or reconciling with them. Or what if they're not sorry? 877-573-7825. We want to help you manage all the different aspects of giving and getting forgiveness. So let's talk it out and find ways to cooperate with God's grace effectively, to heal the body of Christ, to heal our own hearts, to bring healing where possible to our relationships as well, by finessing forgiveness. 877-573-7825. We'll be taking more of your calls and questions coming up on the other side of the break. Stick around.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
I really love St. Augustine because I think he is a good example for all of us that no matter how stubborn, no matter how intelligent we may be, you know, thinking we're so smart and we don't have to worry about what God says, but a lot of people see themselves as gods, making their own decisions and thinking they're fine and thinking that they can pick and choose through Catholicism and Christianity in general. But St. Augustine is a reminder to us that anyone, even one with a hardened heart, can have a huge change. Whether it's late in life, whatever. God is always trying to give good things to us. Ah, but our hands are too full to receive them. Think about that. We fill our hands with the things that we think matter. St. Augustine, pray for us.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Was Jesus' risen body the same body he dwelled in while living on earth? According to the Catholic Catechism, it was the same body that was crucified, but it was glorified and different in profound ways from the risen body of Lazarus, which Jesus brought forth from the tomb. Lazarus returned to his same earthly life with the same limitations he had when he left it. Jesus rose with new powers. His body was no longer confined to time and space. He could appear and disappear at will. He could walk through doors. He could also eat and drink as he did with the apostles to prove to them that he was not a ghost. He could appear in whatever guise he chose as he did with Mary Magdalene when she thought he was the gardener. The reality of the resurrection of the body seemed an impossibility to the disciples. They needed the added impetus of God's grace to accept and believe such a reality. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. When a close friend does something to offend you, do you usually assume they meant to be mean? Or instead, do you assume the offense was unintentional? Well, research finds that happily married couples tend to give each other the benefit of the doubt, an outlook that relationship experts call a positive intention frame. Because it involves framing offensive actions in the best possible light. These couples assume that most of their spouse's offensive actions stem from miscommunication or misunderstanding, not from bad intentions. Now, having a positive intention frame doesn't mean excusing offensive behavior. Happy couples address bad behavior directly, but they do it in a way that assumes the best about their spouse and lets them save face. Instead of criticizing their spouse, they might complain about the spouse's behavior. See the difference? Criticisms frame the person as the problem. Complaints frame the behavior as the problem. When a couple consistently adopts this attitude about each other, it makes it easier for them to bring up issues, and more likely that those issues can be resolved with a minimum of drama. Get more tips for nurturing a happy marriage in our book, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, or if you'd like more personalized, faith-filled help, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, we're talking about forgiveness. So give us a call if you are struggling to forgive someone or having a hard time getting them to forgive you. 877-573-7825. You know, before we take our next question, I wanted to let you know about a great opportunity for parents and kids to have a more peaceful family by Christmas. Join us next Tuesday, November 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for a free webinar, A More Peaceful Family by Christmas, where we're going to be talking about not just Advent traditions, but how you can make more room in your hearts and your home for Christ this Advent season.
You know, often we get to the holidays and we think, this time it's going to be like all those wonderful movies that I see. We're going to enjoy each other's company. We're going to feel warm. We're going to get our spiritual and emotional tanks filled. It's going to be great. Look at all the work I'm putting into this. And then we don't feel that sense of connection and togetherness. We feel fried. Well, let's not let that happen to you this time. We're going to help you achieve that every day leading
right
through the holiday season.
There are simple things every Catholic family can do to have a more peaceful family by Christmas and cooperate with the grace of the Advent season to make that happen. We want to walk you through that next Tuesday evening, November 19th at 8 p.m. It's free. We'd love to have you there. All you got to do is register by visiting CatholicCounselors.com/peacefulbyChristmas, all one word.
CatholicCounselors.com/peacefulbyChristmas.
Jinx, you owe me a soda. And we hope to see you at that webinar and look forward to talking about ways we can all make more room for Christ in our hearts and homes this Advent season. With that, we are taking your calls about forgiveness at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Shelley, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska on Spirit Catholic Radio.
Hi, Shelley. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm struggling with a situation that I've had with a family member. It would be in-laws. And it happened about 2 years ago. And I'm just trying to figure out if I'm in a, I have forgiven for things I wasn't apologized for, or maybe I haven't forgiven. And I'm not entirely sure if it is a forgiveness thing, or if I'm just not comfortable going back to the original relationship and friendship that we had prior. Going back and trying to feel that where that was is definitely just not something that I'm comfortable with how the situation was handled. So about 2 years ago, there was a situation where we made plans and we made an agreement as to what the situation was. And then they were ended up messing up part of the plans. And then when I was like, okay, let's reschedule, they wanted to change the things that we agreed on. And I was like, well, that's just not going to work. Let's make plans for what we agreed on. I was then yelled at twice in the same day on two different occasions. It took up the next day. My husband went and spoke with them and was like, hey, this really wasn't appropriate. And one of them doubled down, and they were like, yes, it was. That's what needed to be said, and I'm glad they said it. And then when we finally did talk about it a couple months later, when I was told not to talk about it, it was then brought back up, was then told the apologies were kind of non-apologies. It was, well, I'm sorry that you felt bad, and I'm sorry that there's a rift in the family. Nobody ever actually apologized for the situation or how I was treated or the names that I was called. So about a year later, I actually read your guys' book, and I tried to set some boundaries. The new boundaries now is just I'm not the primary contact for the family anymore. My husband is. We're both in our 40s. He's old enough to be that primary contact. But again, I'm just to the point now where have I really not forgiven, or am I just really not comfortable being in that friendship anymore that I had before? This was a friendship that I would have talked to this person almost every day. And now because of how they were treated and the names that I was called and the lack of even dealing with the situation has really just been very hurtful. And it's just been hard for me to navigate how to move forward.
Sure. And now, Shelley, you said this is your in-laws. Is this your husband's family or in-laws in some other way?
In-laws family. It would be his mother and a stepfather.
Okay, so I have to ask on top of this, because you're dealing with all the emotions and pain of this, how's your husband doing with you setting these hard boundaries? Is this causing a problem between you and him, or is he cool with it?
He's definitely on my position, and he's like, if you don't want to deal with it, that's fine. I will talk to it. Because he went in that next day, and was just like, hey, this isn't the situation that's supposed to be. And they were like, yep, that's how we want to do it. He was the one that then 3 months later was like, hey, you guys need to apologize to her and before we can do this. And that was the apology that I then got was, I'm sorry. And I feel that they fully feel like they apologized because the words I'm sorry were there. But I feel like I'm sorry for you feeling bad is really not an apology.
That's not an apology. Have they ever indicated to you that they want to restore the relationship? Have they, you know, said, you
not,
know, hey, Shelley,
not
really
in words.
Sad.
So now, one of them, we really are not on a speaking basis. If we're in the same room, we really just don't speak to each other. If it is there, it's really like nobody talks about it. When I'm with another one I spoke with mostly, it's like everything's fine. Oh, hey, how are you? How's your day? And it's just like it didn't ever happen. And I'm not in a situation that I can just pretend like it didn't happen. And again, this is someone that I feel like for 6 months, I probably mourned the loss of the friendship. Like, this is a person I trusted and wanted to hang out with. And, like, I can't, still struggling with, that's how you would.
Okay. So I just want to jump in just to give you some thoughts here. First of all, I'm so sorry that that's happened. It's always so painful when somebody
so
who is a support to you and a friend to you, it kind of turns on you that way and refuses to take responsibility for it.
And it's awful in the loss, but it's also awful in that sense that we kind of, I know I personally feel this way, and maybe you don't, Shelley, but normally when that happens, we're kind of walking around going, was I crazy? Like, I thought we were good. I thought this was deep. I thought we had a connection. I thought we had an understanding of who we were to each other, and now this? And so there's the pain of, they're not in my life, but there's also the pain of, how did I get this so wrong? Which makes us feel very disconcerted in the long run.
So let's first talk about, in broad terms, the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation, and then maybe talk about what it would mean, you know, for you in this situation now moving forward. So St. Augustine talks about forgiveness being when we surrender our natural desire for revenge, right? So forgiveness is basically where I stop wanting to hurt the other person for having hurt me, or I stop wanting them to suffer. I want bad things to happen to them. I kind of take joy in that idea, right? Forgiveness is letting that go. Now that doesn't mean, by the way, that if I want someone to be brought to justice, for example, we had our first caller was sexually abused by her brother. You know, if she said, you know, I want him to, you know, to know the pain that he caused and get the help for it, and, you know, or even, you know, if somebody has to pay legal consequences for something they've done, that's not unforgiveness. That's working for their good. You know, making a person face the consequences of their actions and work through the steps of healing those consequences is not unforgiveness. So unforgiveness would be, you know, I'm going to talk about them behind their back, or I'm going to do little petty things to annoy them, or I rejoice when bad things happen to them. You know, so St. Augustine said that forgiveness is giving that up, that desire to hurt people for having hurt us, or want bad things to happen to them. Reconciliation, on the other hand, again, Augustine says that reconciliation is the tranquility that results from right order. So when the wounds have been healed, when the damage has been resolved, when the pain has been addressed, then we can know that this person, you know, is trustworthy and able to be in relationship with them. And we can reconcile with them. We can forgive someone on our own. We can't really reconcile with someone on our own. You know, that would be an extraordinary grace, where it's possible, but it's the kind of thing where you kind of have to be called in prayer to do that. The normal course of it is to say, look, you know, I would love to be able to be in a better relationship with you, but before I can, this would have to be addressed. So that brings us to where you're at, Shelley. You know, if you can say that you don't want to hurt them for having hurt you, then you've forgiven them. And if you still do want to hurt them for having hurt you, well, then there's some work to do. In terms of forgiveness, the question is, you know, can you trust them again? And because they have not indicated that they know that what they did was wrong, then you can't trust them to handle those similar situations differently moving forward. And so at the very least, I wouldn't put them in that position again, say, to make a plan with them that they wouldn't necessarily be able to follow through on. I'm a little concerned with just how broad this is. Like, you know, you say whenever you're in the same room with this person, you know, you guys just ignore each other entirely. Maybe that's necessary. You know, if you don't feel like they're a safe person to share anything with or to be open with at all, then maybe the best thing to do is to try to keep your space. I mean, even Jesus talks about, you know, treating somebody like a tax collector. If you've tried to reconcile and address things with them and it doesn't work, then the best you can do is just kind of wave at them in the street and smile and move on. But I would continue praying about that piece of it, you know, asking the Lord to kind of help you see if there's more that needs to be done on that front. Because I think, again, it's appropriate to say, I'm not going to put them in the position to make a plan with them that they're going to back out on and then be upset about. You know, I'm not going to do that. But I'm not sure why it would mean that you wouldn't have any relationship with them at all at this point. That seems like what you're trying to do is say, you know, I want them, I'm going to keep hurting so that they can recognize how hurtful they were, which to them is just making you look petty.
Yeah, you know. I mean, I think there's a very good chance that at this point, they're so clueless because, as you said, you think they think that they apologized. They didn't apologize well, but they don't understand why and how. So if you keep up that boundary, now if you only feel safe with that boundary, we get that. But if you keep up that boundary of we're not really going to ever talk when we're in the same room, you're not giving them a chance to really understand how lame their apology was and what you actually need. And then they just get to hold a grudge against you because they think you're being petty.
So what I would suggest, actually, as a next step, and don't necessarily get off the phone and do it. I want you to really think and pray about it and talk about it with your husband.
And with your husband, yeah. Pray with your husband about it.
But to communicate to your in-laws and say, you know, I really miss the friendship we used to have, but I don't feel like I can have it back unless I could really recognize that you understand how hurtful that was, you know, and as you've had a chance to kind of reflect on it, you know, be willing to take some responsibility for that and apologize, because I really miss that relationship, but I can't trust you with my heart again, knowing that you felt that was an appropriate thing to do. You know, do you feel like with time, you know, you've come to see that maybe you could have handled that a little differently? See what they do with that. You know, if they double down again, then, you know, I think you're safe continuing to do what you're doing. But at least you've given them a way forward, right? Boundaries are always about limiting the damage that a person is doing, number one, but number two, giving a way forward to the relationship. So presenting this to them that way and saying, look, you know, I really miss our friendship, and I would really love to be back to where we were, but I can't open myself up to that, knowing that you thought that what you did was just fine. And so, you know, where are we at with this? And I need to know whether I can trust you. All right, so start with that, Shelley, and if there's more we can do for you after that, don't hesitate to reach out to us again. We have to go to break, but when we come back, we're continuing to take your calls on our show titled Finessing Forgiveness. Are you finding it hard to forgive someone for a big or small offense that they've committed against you? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Matthew chapter 5, verse 44.
But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
And I want to clarify what this means, because when we hear this verse, we just often think it means, you know, keep letting people do whatever they want to us. And that's really not what it means. Loving your enemies means working for their good. And part of working for somebody's good is making them face the consequences of their actions. We can't heal, and they can't repent, if they're not confronted with the consequences of their actions. And so loving your enemy in part means saying, you know, I'm going to hold you responsible for what you've done. I'm not going to be mean to you. I'm not going to hurt you for hurting me back. But I am going to insist that this wound be healed or this problem be addressed. And secondly, the idea of praying for those who persecute you. Again, it doesn't necessarily mean saying, okay, God, you know, I want it to all be better. I want it to all be, you know, just be able to move past it. Sometimes it means, Lord, teach me how to respond to this. You know, I had to help this person heal, help us to find a way to reconcile if we can. But the point is, we're bringing the situation to God consistently and asking him to guide us through the process of healing and not just assuming that God has a cookie-cutter plan for every relationship. So take that to heart. Matthew 5:44. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. With that, we are taking a break. When we come back, more with your calls about forgiveness on More to Life. Stick around.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I want you to have such confidence in the Lord that you'll find such hope and see the beauty of the Lord, the majesty of God. What did our Lord say, huh? If your sins are as scarlet, oh, what? What's going to happen? They shall be made white as snow.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
How would you like to celebrate the Divine Mercy at the Shrine of the Divine Mercy in Poland on Divine Mercy Sunday? Well, you can. Steve Ray here, inviting you to join us in Poland as we follow the footprints of John Paul II, Maria Faustina, and Maximilian Kolbe. Daily Mass at the most iconic, beautiful churches and delicious local foods. Join us in April for Divine Mercy Sunday in Poland.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, finessing forgiveness, as we talk about the challenges of forgiving or getting forgiveness from someone. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk with our next caller now, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, listener. Welcome to More to Life. What's your question for us?
Question is, I need guidance for a marriage that I've been with my husband for 21 years. It's just hurt, and it's hard to reconcile. God gifted us 3 kids when he couldn't have kids. He's been disrespectful to the marriage. He's pretty much hands-off with our kids. Marriage feels cold. He doesn't initiate outings. Shows love, compassion. He's, when something happens, it's hard for him to apologize. And when he does, he blames it on somebody else or an event or a situation, and it repeats itself.
And what have you done to try to get help for this? This is a really painful situation. I'm sorry.
We've had counseling, and I was asked to step back and to allow him to initiate things so that he would be able to start on and that aspect with, you know, the parenting and with initiation, with outings and dates with.
But he's not doing that, though, right?
Yes, we have done that.
No, no, I'm sorry, but you said you were asked to step back so he would initiate. I said, but he is not doing that. He's not initiating.
Correct. That's right. Correct.
So then I think I'll offer some suggestions here, but I think that you might need to seek help from a different counselor, or go back to that counselor and say, you know, he's not doing the thing that you said. Either way, I'm actually not surprised that he didn't initiate. It's not just about you stepping back. He has to have the skills to initiate, and the way the person that you're describing, I wouldn't expect would have those skills. So I'm going to ask you to do one thing, and then I'm also going to make a recommendation for following up. So very often, when I see this dynamic, what happens is you have a spouse, usually the husband, who maybe was kind of raised by wolves and doesn't know how to lead family life or participate effectively in family life, and they feel intimidated. So the idea of you stepping back, you know, creates space allegedly, but if he doesn't have the skills to engage, then it's not going to change anything. So what I find can be helpful is creating a space for the two of you every day to connect around the relationship and talk about the relationship and pray about the relationship. So what I would say is, every day I'd like you to create some space to sit down and pray together. Lord, help us to be the family that you want us to be. Help us to be the couple that you want us to be. And help us to know how to work together to address these things so that we can have a more loving, warm, connected, caring family life. And really pray that way. And bring up specifics, the specific challenges that you're seeing in the day. You know, help us to know how to handle this problem with the kids, or help us to know how to handle this challenge that we're facing with each other. Talk out loud to God about the relationship and ask for his guidance. Now, then use that conversation as a springboard for saying, hey, honey, how would you like to handle thus and such? You know, what would you like to do about this and that? And you step back in that way, where you're putting the question out there, but giving him space to answer it. It's not just don't do things and hope that he'll just come into the vacuum. And you can create that space where you can have those conversations. Now, that may not work, right? And if it doesn't work, what that means is that he needs skills that he doesn't have, which is going to require you to go back to counseling. If you're comfortable working with your previous counselor and sharing that information with them about how this, you know, the suggestion didn't go anywhere, then that's fine. If not, if you'd like to work with us to find some faithful ways to respond to this challenge, they can look us up at CatholicCounselors.com. But yes, there needs to be space created for him to come into it, but there, he needs to have the skills. And so having that daily connection time for praying about the relationship together and talking about specific challenges and problems that you're facing, then giving him the space to say, what do you think you'd like to do about that? You know, without criticizing, without kind of, you know, micromanaging it, but just kind of then talking through those things. When he makes a suggestion, if he makes a suggestion, you know, go ahead and say, well, all right, you know, if you disagree with it, it's okay to say, well, I like this part of the plan, but how about this piece? How would you factor this concern in? Right? So it's not, well, that wouldn't work because of thus and such. It's, well, I think that could work, but how would you address this piece of it that I also see? So you're working together to try to talk through those things and learn a better way to manage it. We talk more about this kind of problem in our book, Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love, which really talks about how to have the kind of prayer life that I was just mentioning that allows the prayer to be a springboard for deeper communication and problem solving. Check it out, Praying For and With Your Spouse, The Way to Deeper Love. If you find that he is either not open to the suggestion or you're not able to make these things work on your own, then it's time to come back to marriage counseling to get some skills to be able to have more productive problem solving. Because, again, it sounds to me like he's the sort of guy that was kind of raised by wolves in a household where it was a bunch of individuals living under the same roof but not really relating to each other, and he's got no clue how to be part of a family life, much less lead it. If that's the case, then you're really getting that professional support to help him develop those skills. And if he won't go, then you start. Because it's okay, because you might say, well, why do I need to do that? Well, because you're going to need to learn how to find ways to draw him out better and to create that space that he'll actually fill instead of just stepping back and hoping that something will happen. Thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us. And folks, if you are struggling to forgive or be forgiven, then reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'd love to help you learn those steps of both forgiveness and the process of reconciliation. But as we're heading out, you know, just keep that in mind, that forgiveness and reconciliation are two separate things. We can extend forgiveness, that desire to give up our desire to hurt the other person for having hurt us. We can give that up on our own, or we can extend forgiveness on our own. And we can't reconcile with somebody entirely on our own. That requires them to be willing to do the work to heal the damage that was done. And it's okay to say, I forgive this person, but I can't be reconciled to them because this injury still exists or this wound is still a problem. That's not being unforgiving. That's calling attention to the injustice that has to be addressed before, as St. Augustine put it, we can experience the tranquility resulting from right order. And if you're struggling with forgiveness, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional counselor, Catholic counselor, to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life. Get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because with His grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day, folks.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.